Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
He did a great job. Sorry, my phone's going off. Let's turn this thing off. It's only my wife, so she won't care.
We know it's not your son, Chris.
yeah, we know it's good one, Paul.
Oh, baby. Yes, Phil Simms' greatest hits right there. And you know what? He's on the phone right now, and we haven't opened his mic, so he has nothing he could say. But it's Chris Simms Unbuttoned. We're back, okay? We got a little same thing we did last week, different formula, okay? I got the big fucker on. We're going to talk some ball. Got a few things to hit on around NFL news. I want to hit on the quarterbacks we saw in the national championship game. We're going to hit a course on the conference championship matchups. Want to do all that. But for all those, too, this is going to be another X and O week. Here in a little bit, I'm going to film with Paul Burmeister. So if you want to check out the rest of the pod and how it pertains to this week's matchup, we're going to be filming that, and you know where to find that. YouTube.com/NBC Sports. You'll see me break down some of the key things, I think, between this weekend's matchups, Tennessee Titans, Kansas City Chiefs, and Packers 49ers. All right, and you know the story. Rate, review, tell me how awesome I am. Please, please, I need it. All right, what's up? Dad, you there?
Yeah, what do you need? You need some confidence, son? You want me to say something nice about you?
No, it's okay. Don't worry. I don't need
any
confidence.
I'll say something nice. Yeah. Just give me half back what I gave you.
Okay, fine.
Oh.
Actually, okay. No, I won't. But
No, I'm just kidding. You don't owe me anything. Anyway, I was just trying to be cute.
What's up? What's going on? How are you?
Nothing. What's going on? I'm just sitting here on a Wednesday. Did Showtime yesterday. Kind of went well. Got to get a few points in. You know, we don't try to get deep into football on Showtime. It's more about, you know, sitting there, and when you have a shot, you take it. You know
what
I'm saying?
I do know that. That is for
Brandon
sure.
Brandon Marshall could not talk yesterday. Literally, he had no voice. And I said, this is great. Just, you know, act like you're just, you know, what do you call it? I'm a ventriloquist. You just nod your head yes and no. That's it. And so, but it was a lot of fun. We got a few good things in, just overall thoughts about what went on. And you know, I enjoy that.
I know you
do. A little
do.
More freedom to talk, of course.
Right.
TV is a little different, so it was all good.
All right. Well, you know, you got all the freedom.
No, but
here.
My decision is this.
Yeah.
Do I watch the rematch game?
Yes.
You know, and you say yes.
Yes, I do. I think you'll be able to pull little tidbits out there that will be effective for you on TV this week to give you a better feel of the matchup.
I did it last week.
Right.
And it really I got great points out of watching the previous games, whatever, but it just never unfolded. Like, the one of them was the Tennessee Titans playing Baltimore when Cleveland played Cleveland played Baltimore in Week 16. They blitzed and they got home almost every single time.
Right.
And I thought, wow, well, that happened. Well, it didn't, but what little they did come free.
Yes.
So, you know, it could have been more, but it never got to that. They didn't have to worry about it because of, you know, Baltimore, 14-6 forever. But they acted like every drive was the last two minutes of the game.
They did.
They just lost, you know, the continuity, who they were, I thought. And I'm not going to say they panicked, but they're just so used to being in front and just ruling and doing what they want.
Right.
And a great example, the Kansas City Chiefs. Look, they didn't panic. They hung in there. Kind of kept up, and then it turned for him, and once it turned, then it was awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm with you with the Baltimore Ravens. You're right. I think, I don't want to say panicked either, but they were so used to playing from in front, and I think if they would have just played to win the game 21-14, they could have won the game that way. But instead, they were too content or intent.
Well, yeah, you know what they did? When you play that way or whatever, and if they could have just they never could get Tennessee in a situation where maybe they have to do something they didn't want to do.
Right. They never
did. And boy, that would be hard to do, though. Tennessee is more hard-headed than any team in football. It might be 21-0 this week with 2 minutes to go, and Vrabel's going to say, run it! Run it! That's what we do! But, it's really worked out great for Tennessee. Mike Vrabel, I give him a ton of credit, and it's used too much. The team takes on the personality of the coach, but boy,
yeah,
do they
it's
ever.
True on this one. No doubt about it. All right, so we'll hit on those games. First thing I want to hit on, though, I mean, the big news that was at least surprising to me, Luke Kuechly. I know you got to cover a bunch of Carolina Panthers games. Not
yes.
a bunch, but certainly a number of them.
Oh, yeah, no.
And then
yes.
the Super Bowl, you did that, Super Bowl 50, Carolina. What will jump out to you about Luke Kuechly, his career, and how surprised were you that he called it quits last night?
I'm not going to say I'm surprised.
Right.
No, I'm not. Because I heard you talking this morning, and all those things you said were true. When he cried on the field, the concussions, and I remember just after the last one going, look, he could be done.
Yeah.
He might have to retire.
Right.
And, I'm happy for him. I'm glad he is retiring. All those things because of all the concussions and the way he plays, and maybe that had a lot to do with it too. He knew he couldn't play the way he wanted
yes.
to. And you said it, he made more tackles in a different position this year than he had in the past.
Right.
But two things, I met him many times doing the games.
Yep.
He's not like an overly large, unbelievable, oh my gosh, look at you. You have to play NFL football.
Yes. Right.
But he's, as I would say, as my dad used to say, he's made of barbed wire.
Right.
I mean, there's some skin on top of a bone. We got a lot of ligaments and tendons, and we can go. He was so fast in reaction.
Right.
He was Zach Thomas, linebacker, Ray Lewis, smart.
Right.
But with great speed.
Yes.
I mean, for a linebacker, oh, my gosh. And I don't care what the 40 time was. I'm just saying going across the formations, diagnosing plays,
right.
shooting gaps, all that stuff, he's as good as I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And let me say it again.
Yeah.
And I got a pretty good memory about history, too. And he's as good as I've ever seen doing all those things.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm with you.
I'm not going to say he's Ray Lewis because Ray did it for such a long time. And I work with him, too, so I don't want him to beat me up. but Ray Lewis was extremely smart. He was extremely big for an NFL linebacker, too. Or not, I shouldn't say that. He wasn't, but he's a big man. And he played a little different style than Luke Kuechly. But you are right. He will go in the Hall of Fame when his name comes up
the
first
year.
Yeah,
he will, right? I wanted to ask you that. Yeah, you think so? You think it's the first year, too? He's a first-year Hall of Fame guy?
Oh, he's a first-year.
Yeah.
He's a first-year.
I guess you're right. I mean, if Brian Urlacher is, then Luke Kuechly is, too.
Yeah, and listen, I'm a really, and I say this all the time, I am a really hard judger on the Hall of Fame.
Yes, right.
And I mean hard, maybe too harsh, but he deserves to go in on the first ballot or first year he's up. And I think he will. I think that if you follow football and if you don't have the same conclusions I just told you, then you don't follow football.
Yeah, that's right.
It.
Yeah, you're right. And you know what? I think your point about, him, hey, he is made of barbed wire. I know you might have heard me say this earlier today, but I always worry about guys that are, yes, he's 235, 238, probably working out to be that. Really, probably like when he retires here, he's probably going to walk around at 225, 226, somewhere in there.
At most.
I worry about those guys. Those are the guys I worry about because I just, they're playing a 255-pound man position. And they're playing it like they're 255 pounds, but yet really it's a 220, 225-pound man. And I always feel like they're more susceptible to, brain trauma later down the road or having to deal with those type of issues. So I'm kind of glad he called it quits. I'm with you.
Yes.
There.
Yes. Well, me too. Look, it was a tremendous career. At least he got to go to the Super Bowl, had great personal success, made money, all those things. So, it wasn't as long as he wanted, but still, there has to be, when it's all said and done and he settles down in life, tremendous satisfaction for what he did as a linebacker.
Yeah, that's right. All right, moving on. Now,
go ahead.
Topic number two. You know, we're talking, going back to the Hall of Fame conversation. I want you to tell us all about George Young. You know, he gets elected. He's one of the architects of your Giants football teams.
Yes.
As far as the GM, he gets elected. Just, like, give us some thoughts about what you remember about George Young, his philosophies, what he meant to the sport in your mind.
Well, you know, many things. You know, he was with the Baltimore Colts, but with Don Shula. I think he was the O-line coach or whatever. And, you know, he always was telling me stories about that. I actually watched the New York Jets Baltimore Colts football game on tape with him, because, you know, this is like, I don't know how many years, 30 years after it happened or whatever,
right.
And he's still bitter about it. and when I watched the tape with him, I was like, oh man, you were right. If the quarterback threw it to the right guy, he's wide open, touchdown. There's so many things that happened in the game. I mean, a lot that didn't go the way it should have for the Baltimore, I always get ready to say Ravens so many times, but the Colts,
yeah.
That they had every opportunity to win the game.
Right.
And so that was one thing. To sit with, what'd you call it? It was on tape, you know, so you had to weave it through the machine and it was,
right, you had the old film reel.
Yeah, I mean, and it breaks. Oh, let me get some tape and put it together and put it back, whatever. But George Young created a grading system for players that I've heard Mike Lombardi and other people say that to this day is still used by many, many people
right.
in the NFL, which is really interesting. And of course, just as a person, always kind of stayed in personal contact with the players, but never kind of got in the way of the coach. And my favorite memory, to be personal first,
yeah.
Every Friday, you know, the Fridays, it's over. You know how that is. It's a day to, all right, it's over. Let's take a little breath here. We got it in. We got the game plan. Coaches yelled at us all week. We got a break. And we would be in the training room, about 8 or 10 of us. We always kind of like relax and, you know, whatever. He would come down and start talking to us.
Right.
Because he knew nobody was going to be around. And those conversations were awesome. It was football. It was this. It was politics. It's economics and on and on. And he would get so far. He would sometimes be yelling at us. And, you know, we'd all be laughing. Oh, yeah. It was, I can just see everybody sitting there right now. It was great. But he believed in, you know, big people.
Yeah, right.
When in doubt,
that's what I was going to say. Did he have a dialogue with Bill like that way, Parcells, where they envisioned a team like that? How much do you think he was a part of conversations with Bill, or just building the team the way he saw fit, and then Bill just adjusted?
I think Bill and George Young probably saw eye to eye on most of those decisions, and they believed in that concept.
Yes.
We're going to be big and physical. That's what they both believed in. You know, Parcells did.
Right.
Of course, George Young did too. And just think of all the people we drafted. My gosh.
Yes.
You know, it was just
one
it was
giant
endless.
After another. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, hey, we need a speedy wide receiver. The New York Giants take, you know, a big lineman from the Big Ten. You know, William Roberts.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Just, right.
Oh, my gosh. I'll never forget. You were with me, 1985, so it'd be 1986, the draft is coming along.
Yeah.
We're down in Florida because we got a week off from lifting.
Right.
And I can't pay attention to any of y'all because I want to know what's going on in the draft. And I can't remember if I was listening or watching on TV or whatever it was back then. And it's just one defensive player after another. I don't think we had five. I don't know how many picks. We had six picks in the first three rounds. I think they were all defensive players. And I just go, oh my God. Okay. All right. That's it. That's the end of that. You know, of course, one of them was Pepper Johnson.
Yes.
I can't remember them all offhand. Eric Dorsey, I think, was one.
Right.
Eric Howard was another.
Wow.
Greg Lasker.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I mean, and what happened is we kind of hit on every one of them.
Right.
And, you know, they were a huge part of us having a good run there in the mid-80s. So, yeah. I think that the fact that he brought in ideas that are still used today says a lot about him. He had great success. I didn't realize he was named Executive of the Year so many times.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either.
Yeah, now George also believed in paying players exactly what they deserved. He was never going to overpay one player, and he made a list up of players on their importance to the team from one all the way down, and he wanted that list to be exactly in order.
Right.
He was really big in that, which really drove me crazy because, you know, the quarterback, I don't know, I'm just you know, betting a little. but you know, you'd see the salary come out, and it was amazing. It was like whatever back then, $1.5 million, $1.4 million, 50,000.
Right.
$1.4. And it just kept going all the way down, and you go, man, they're paying everybody just about exactly where they fit in the line of their importance to the team. So that had to be hard to do, but it was a different era, of course, then, too.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, it sounds like that rubbed off on Bill Belichick because he won't pay 4 cents for something that's worth 3 cents. He's probably got that from George Young.
Well, you know what? I think over time, if you did this with all teams, that using that formula is probably the right way to do it.
Yeah, that's right. It is the right way to do it. All right, so let's get into some draft stuff, all right, and some quarterback
play. Yeah, I want to hear it.
Well,
good.
I mean, come on. I mean, we watched the national championship. I think you would agree. It's the, you know, probably the first two number one picks the next 2 years in the draft.
Yes.
You're right? You think Joe Burrow's a number one? Like, break it down. Break it down, both of them. Just go ahead.
Well, here's what we got.
Yeah.
Here's what we got.
Yeah.
We got the LSU Tigers.
Right.
With Joe Burrow.
Right.
Running a pro offense.
Yes.
And he's a pro quarterback.
Yeah.
He has all the things that you're looking for already. Oh, he's got size. He runs so much better, and I think he showed that off in the championship game.
Definitely did.
Decision maker, can get it out of his hand quick. Really has great feel for the people around him, knowing when to move.
Right.
All that.
He does.
Will throw under pressure, and we just keep going on and on. I think you have said it, and you know, and I know. Does he have elite arm talent? No. He doesn't have elite arm talent. He has unbelievable. The one thing he does elite, to me, throwing the ball, his touch on throwing the ball over somebody's head or just the right angle to throw the long ball down the field, he is great with that.
Great at it. Agreed.
That one touchdown to the right side, it wasn't real long.
Yeah.
But his anticipation and the pace on the football, my gosh, it was perfect.
Yes.
So, you know, that would be my only criticism of him is, everybody, you know, I don't want to hear from any draft experts, oh, well, the arm strength's overrated. Okay. Yeah, tell Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers and all them about it. It's overrated, you throwing that ball in between people down there. I mean, every quarterback can, yeah, right. So that's a stupid statement made by everybody every year. Yeah, we don't want wide receivers. We just want them to run a route. We don't want them to be too fast. It's not that important.
Yeah,
is that a good analogy?
Yeah, that's a great analogy. I mean, yes, you know, I like my defensive tackles to be big. You know, it's the same thing. I get you. I mean,
you got a guy who's playing pro football with great experience and all the qualities you love in a pro quarterback.
Yeah, he definitely does. No doubt about that. And I hear a lot of people right now trying to like, oh, well, he had a pro offensive coordinator with him, and he's got all this talent around him. And I want to just be like, hey, let's pump the brakes on all that stuff. I mean, Deshaun Watson had really good coaching and people around him at Clemson. And a
receiving core that's probably better than anyone he's ever going to play with in the NFL.
That's what I mean. Tua in Alabama has, two first-round wide receivers around him and a bunch of pro. So, you know, I don't know why this started all of a sudden with Joe Burrow.
Because everybody's a hater, son.
Yeah, I know.
Everybody is. It's just, you know, it's amazing. But, you know, yeah, Baker Mayfield threw to, oh, that's right, all pros, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, every one of his offensive linemen are going to start in the NFL.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just go keep going down the list.
It's, no, I know.
So that's all stupid stuff, and that's why, whatever.
But I think for right now that he is hands down the number one pick in the draft, right?
Well, I think he will be, yes.
Yes.
And, you know, to give me is Justin Herbert.
Yes.
I do like him a lot.
Right.
But here's the difference. He ran in an awful offense for pro quarterbacks.
Awful.
And so his talent is undeniable. His and all that stuff. But, you know, now he truly is going to be one of those guys that's going to take a little time.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, it was a great example when they were playing the Rose Bowl. I never saw him get off the guy and check it down.
Right.
And there was Jack Cohn, who's not as a, you know, doesn't have the talent that Justin Herbert. He's got a 3rd and 10. There's nobody open. And, you know, real quick, he checks it down.
Right.
And then I don't know who caught the ball, not Taylor, the other running back. He runs for the first down. I go, Oregon could never do that.
Right.
And I watched, I'm going to say, 5 Oregon games.
Yeah.
But his talent, his size, his ability to run, and all that makes him, to me, you know, boy, I like him a lot just from what I've seen. But you've got to teach him all the things that are hard. There's nothing like getting game action and getting 40 throws a game.
Right.
Which, you know, Joe Burrow did.
Yeah, in a pro concept, being coached by a pro. Yeah,
because you feel the rush more. Oh, where to get rid of the ball, how to do that. It just... So that's a detriment to a lot of college quarterbacks learning to do that just because they play in such simple, no pro concepts. We just got better players than you, that type of play.
Right, yeah. All right, so hey, just hit on the other guy in the matchup, Trevor Lawrence. I mean,
Trevor Lawrence is a really great college quarterback playing in a really good college system.
Right.
And some of the things we just talked about, he does lack. He needs another year of experience. You know, I think there's a few things he does physically, too, that gets him in trouble. You know, early in the game, he was throwing high. Well, there's a reason. He was just dipping down low to throw it hard.
Yeah.
And when you dip, arm goes down, ball goes up.
Right.
Really simple physics there, people.
Right.
And he was doing that. I thought towards the end he kind of settled down a little, stood up a little better, and kind of had a little better control of the ball. But his physical talents are, hey, if you said...
They're closer to Justin Herbert's, really, right? Don't you think?
Well, he's a little faster, it looks like, a little more quick. And his arm is just, it's so... His arm, when he really kind of catches it and does it, it's really explosive.
Yes, it is.
I mean, come on. I mean, he threw a couple balls over the head of a few in-cuts and maybe a curl. I can't remember throwing it to the left. You couldn't even see it on the TV screen.
Right.
And if it had been on target, it was just going to hit the guy in the face and bounce off. So that's a good thing to have. So, you know, he's going to need some polishing up and all that. But the talent, the kid, all those things are just they're undeniable. They really are. Now just the fact that he ran the ball, how long was that touchdown run he had against Georgia when he took off and ran?
Yeah, well, the one against Ohio State you're thinking about.
Ohio State, probably
55 yards, somewhere in that range. Yeah,
everybody chasing him was an NFL player.
Yes, exactly right. That was when I went, whoa, he's faster than I expected him to be, for sure.
Yeah, he's, you know, just the way he handles himself and all that, too, is really awesome, too. I love that fact about him. He acts like a quarterback.
He does.
I think that's a big thing always for players in the NFL. He's low maintenance. He's not going to separate himself from the football team.
Right.
And all that. And so that's a great thing.
Yeah, that's the thing I think I respect more than anything about Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence. They are truly the guys that you want to be the face of your franchise, let alone they have the talent to go along with it, too. That's why I think it's a win-win when that day does come.
Yeah, you know, I did, real quick. I would hope and I'd like to see just a little more of some of the things we talked about, just not to get him ready for the pros, but when you play in those big games like that against this great talented, like they did against LSU, you know, you need those starter plays. And they did a good job early, all their screens and everything, but then it was over.
Yeah, they ran out.
And LSU, they just got tons of them, and they just, when in doubt, we throw the double slant off of, you know, RPO or a play action, whatever.
Right.
But they always have something to go to, and it's that's pretty impressive because I know your time is limited with college football players, but just listening, it sounds like they were all so bought in that they spent every waking second, you know, studying what they were going to do and how they were going to get better, and that was led by Joe Burrow.
Yeah, it definitely was. That was one of the best college offensive performances we've ever seen by a team. I mean, it was amazing what they did.
From start to end, yes. I remember watching the Texas game.
Right.
And, you know, I just kept going because I was, you know, told that Joe Burrow, read all this stuff, going to be probably a fourth-round draft pick.
Yeah, right.
And I'd watched him, and I thought, boy, he could be a lot better than a fourth-round draft pick. I swear, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
But he probably would have been a fourth-round draft pick if they ran last year's offense
sure.
the year before.
Right.
Because you wouldn't have seen all the intangibles and his physical traits come out as much as they did with the offense they ran.
Yeah, that's right. Offense helps helps show the talent of the guy. All right, so let's get on to it. Let's go on to the games this weekend. Let's hit the first one. Titans-Chiefs rematch from Week 10. You know, the Titans win that football game, but both of these teams are a lot different now than they were then. What kind of jumps out to you about the matchup?
Well, many things. I guess my first thought is just go, I'll go KC offense,
yeah.
just to say, talk about it. Can they get to the quarterback? Okay, can
right.
they get to him? And
right.
My first thought is no.
Yes.
And then if you do break free, no.
Yeah.
The drop by Patrick Mahomes and how he drops back and gets back there, even when he doesn't get deep, he works the pocket great. He just has a great feel for it because he's been throwing the football in games for so long in his life that he just knows how to get rid of the ball and never seems to get in trouble.
Right.
That's one. The speed, they're at full force now in Kansas City. Now, I'm stealing this from you. Man, don't go out there and try to be balanced. Just go out there and go for the kill.
Yeah, go for it.
Because what they have done during the year, they have adjusted. Think what they did early in the game.
Yeah.
What they do. Quick play, just a little token, little fake or whatever, and throw it in the flat to whoever's coming across or whatever, 6 yards, 7 yards.
Right.
So they got more of those underneath plays, which I think makes them even more dangerous.
Definitely.
And then everybody says, here's the big one. I think it was you, don't get beat deep if you're playing defense against them.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's great. Well, he's going to throw it, you know, 20 yards underneath you then.
Right.
And then you know what? You got to tackle him. And so their run after catch is just as dangerous as them throwing it over the top of your whole secondary.
Yeah, right.
So that'll be interesting to see, too, in that game.
Yeah.
But I love what they're doing on offense. Andy Reid is not worried about establishing a run and getting all that. And you know what? He should not. His talent says
throw it.
Establish your wide receivers
That's
and
right.
your quarterback. And the offensive line is good. They know how to block for him.
Right.
And like I said, even when you come free, finally, he's just going to trot his way to the outside. You know, he's like a horse. He just kind of gallops. Then he sees the finish line, then he takes off.
Yeah, right, right.
Man, that was a good analogy. I should remember that.
That was a good analogy. Well, and you know, hey, just to your point, you know, the first matchup, the Tennessee Titans never stopped the Kansas City Chiefs, not the whole game. And that was Mahomes' first game back from injury. He missed a few throws. They had a few bad penalties go against them on the offensive side of the ball. But they had 530 yards on offense against the Tennessee Titans. I just want to remind everybody of that. So
that's pretty good. You
530
know.
And I think 28 first downs in the football game.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many turnovers, how many field goals did they miss, all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, they missed the extra point and had the field goal blocked at the and had two missed field goals.
Two missed field goals?
Right, and missed an extra point.
They missed an extra point. Yeah, so all those things are important. And, you know, the yards, I don't know, really, Kansas City very seldom gets, they don't get empty yards. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They're not playing from four scores down, and he gets to throw it 20 times and goes 18 of 20 for 220 yards and two touchdowns. Wow, he had a good statistical game. Yeah, if I remember the game right, which I will watch today, that it was, the yards counted, and they did a great job. And the other side, just real quick, Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
Big zone team.
Right.
You know, they can't run with these guys man-to-man. And I don't know, that's just a really, really tough matchup. Even though their secondary's playing better, Adoree Jackson being it. Was he in the first game?
Yeah, he was. He was there.
He was there. Okay. Well, I didn't know if he was or not.
Yep.
But, yeah, just a lot of tough matchups. And even when you double-team them, you lose a lot. You know, we saw that last week.
Yes.
We saw it. Houston, they double-teamed Tyreek Hill. He still threw it to him.
Yeah, right. Double-teamed Travis Kelce a few times. He still threw it to him. It didn't matter.
Still threw it to him. Here's a funny one.
Right.
Travis Kelce ran, let's just say, about a 10-yard outcut from the tight end position.
I know what you're talking about. He's covered like glue.
And he just turns and goes the other way.
Right.
And Mahomes throws it to him right in stride, right in rhythm.
Right.
And we were in the studio, and I go, did they design that to do that?
Yeah.
And everybody goes, no, they couldn't. And I said, man, I tell you, I think it was designed. And NFL Films had him talking about it on the sideline. And Travis Kelce said, hey, man, you know, I'm not going to try to imitate what he says. But he just goes, I can't believe it. You hit me right in rhythm like you knew I was going to do it. And all this stuff. And Mahomes goes, yeah, I knew. I could see the way you cover. I figured you were going to break in and, you know, this. And I just went, my gosh.
They're next level with that shit. They're
that was, and it was just so matter of fact
right.
and all that. It was really their interactions on the sideline, especially with NFL Films. We had, you know, everybody's mic'd and mics are everywhere for these playoff games. It was fun to watch and just to hear them. And what was really cool, Mahomes' speech to the team.
Right.
And it was not just, come on, we're going to get it. We're going to get hot, you know, all these things. And that was good, too, just to keep the spirits up, even though they were down 24-0.
Well, what's your thoughts just, you know, before we go to the next game, what about Tennessee as far as their offense, Chiefs' defense? Do you think the Chiefs' defense can hang in there, stop this run game? What kind of chances do you give them there?
Yeah, well, I give them a better chance because they do have, you know, a tremendous depth of defensive linemen.
Yes.
And so that gives me some faith. And I think they also can be willing to take a chance and get extra people up there because I think their defensive backs have really improved.
Yes.
Fuller one slot, Matthew on the other slot.
Right.
You know, Ward, even though he made two really silly mistakes, that was probably good. He won't make those this week.
No, you're right. And he played really well towards the end of the season. So
yes,
I get you.
Very well.
Right.
Andy Reid has said it, you know, that he's been like one of the catalysts because his play has picked up so much. And Bashaud Breeland, I don't know. Maybe it's just because he's in Kansas City, but he's playing great. He's playing well, too.
He is.
I don't think they got to be. Would you be scared if you got a solid secondary? Would you just go, oh, we can't play man-to-man against the Tennessee wide receivers?
No, I don't think I would certainly not be scared out of it altogether. You know, there might be certain formations and things I would worry about a little bit. That Khalif Raymond, I will say him at 14, you know, him being back in the lineup, right, does scare you a little bit more than maybe when he was not in the lineup. But, yes, as a whole, I think between, you know, the talent – and what they do creativity-wise on the offensive side of the ball, I would certainly take my chances in man-to-man in certain situations.
Yeah, and to go back to this, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, they got a bunch of thumpers on defense and all that.
Yeah.
But they didn't stop it.
No, they did not.
And Derrick Henry, I just sent in all the plays that I'm going to show everybody in the pregame.
Yeah.
And we're watching it, and I'm describing it to the kid that's going to try to draw it up. And we are laughing because the blocking on some of the runs was so outrageously good.
I know.
And I know you've talked about him, but Roger Saffold, I don't know. I don't remember him. You know, I never studied him like I am now, maybe when he was with the Rams. But he's a killer.
He's a killer.
He can move. And, you know, the other guard, Nate Davis, it's just a fullback that got so big they had to move him to guard.
I know.
Because he's can really move.
Right.
And Ben Jones, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they all can move. They're all athletic and they're all big.
Yeah, and the two tackles, they're just angry at the world, so that makes it great, too. I mean, it is. And even all their tight ends are good blockers. Pruitt's a good blocker.
Well, they're a great example of something that you taught me a long time ago. That, you know, where their money is or where their assets, just like you just talked about with the Chiefs. You know, their plays are with the receivers and the quarterback and the tight end. Well, they got two top 10 picks, a tackle, a free agent guard who they paid a lot of money to, another free agent center they paid a lot of money to, and they're coming through, right?
Yeah, was Nate Davis a first round or second round?
No, I think he was, I want to say a second, maybe third. I can't remember.
Somewhere near,
third.
Yeah. Simmons was the first rounder, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's It's really interesting just to see him. And, you know, and Baltimore's offensive line, I thought it was really good, too, and it is good. Really no glaring weakness, maybe the rookie center, if you wanted to say one or whatever.
Yeah.
But all that. But after watching Tennessee and knowing just the we're going to run it, and Derrick Henry, the big thing is, maybe I stole this from you, but I noticed it because I did watch. He makes – well, I listened to one of their linemen.
Yeah.
I listened to your guy, Roger Saffold, on the radio one day. So I sat in the driveway and listened to him being interviewed for 20 minutes.
Right.
And he was talking about the line, but he was talking about Derrick Henry. He goes, he always makes the right cut.
Always.
And then he goes, if he does miss, he's like apologizing to us like he committed a sin. And I said, so that dynamic, I don't know. It's really cool to hear players talk like that about each other and what they're trying to accomplish, and it's just one of the, another reason why they're in a championship game.
Yeah, all right. So I know you don't have to, you know, I know you got a few days to digest this still, and you're not going to pick the game until Sunday for real. But what's your early lean as of Wednesday before Championship Sunday? What's your early lean there in that game?
Well, my there's no question it's Kansas City.
Right.
It is. And you know, a couple things, Kansas City will not, now we know even more, but they won't get frightened if something doesn't go their way or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're just so dynamic and all that, so you got to lean towards them as you look at it. Now the question just becomes, well, you know, I do worry, and I do.
Yeah.
Can Kansas City, yes, you said it this morning, Passanio, Derek Nnadi, you know, Chris Jones, will he play? He won't be 100% no matter what.
Right.
He's in there. Suggs is there. Williams, he's another one.
Right.
They're loaded with big guys in front.
Up front. Right.
And Kalen Saunders, their rookie, yes, you're right. He's playing better. Sticks out every week. I talk about him every week. Yeah. Hey, this guy's getting better. Nnadi's getting better.
Right.
But I got to see it to believe it, if they can line up and just really be such a factor that they make Kansas City change their game plan before they want to.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you there. All right, let's move over to the NFC. Got a
All
good
right.
one. It's Rodgers going back to Green Bay. This is a going back to San Francisco. This is a rematch of Week 12, which was thoroughly dominated.
Yeah, it was a disaster.
It was.
Almost – I couldn't believe what I was watching when
right.
I saw it.
Right.
And so you think it's worth looking at to try to draw some conclusions of what you want to do? Well, listen, the first thing we know, too
– Yeah.
Son, is that when you play a team the second time, you're always going to change up and kind of do things off of what you did the first time.
Right, and don't you think that favors the team that lost and that kind
always.
Of? Always, right? Because you're willing to try something new. You know you got to do something new, where the team that won goes, well, we could still run a lot of the stuff we ran because it worked the first time, and that's where, you know, it can even out a little bit.
Yeah, yes. I'm trying to fix my computer here. Yes, it can even things out. And what it does, no matter what, it's just what's the word for it? It's just who we are as human beings.
Yeah, right. One's going to be scared to death. They're going to get blown out again. The other one's feeling good.
The other one, there's a level of comfort. We beat them. We can do it again. And the other one is scared to death that they're going to get knocked out.
Right.
And being afraid like that is a great motivator for sure. And is it enough to get them over the top? We'll see. I think it's going to be very hard. There's so many things about it. I just to be overall, my first thought is all the things. Can San Francisco make some corrections, find another way to attack them, to do all that, both sides of the ball? And I think the Green Bay Packers, they got to hope Jimmy Garoppolo is just not having a good day throwing the football.
Yeah, yeah.
The Packers have some good secondary guys.
Right.
And if he doesn't have a good day of throwing the football, he got fortunate last week.
Yes, he did.
If he throws it like that this week, the ball's going to be up for grabs, and will Green Bay get a couple of them? That could be the difference in the game. So I'm interested to see that too.
Yeah, you know, I look at it the same way. I know what you mean. I mean, my early lean here is, of course, San Francisco as well, and I just go, I don't know if Green Bay can win the game unless there's some – off schedule, something, interception, strip sack, fumble, punt return and something like that. I feel like Green Bay's got to have some sort of play like that if they want to win the game.
Green Bay's margin of error is extremely slim.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Right.
There, you know, and the other thing about the San Francisco 49ers, they can line up and they can just put another back in there who's willing to run like it's the last run of his life.
Yeah, that's right.
And that was one thing that I really caught my eye. Tevin Coleman, Mostert,
Breida.
And Breida.
Right.
Yeah, those three, when they get in, it is go. And, you know, so that's a great weapon too because, you know, people used to write in and complain about me or whatever. You know, extra 2 yards, big deal. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. All right, tell me. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it is a big deal.
Getting those extra yards. Ask Tennessee Titans, Derrick Henry, falling forward every run.
Right.
What those 2 yards do for their play calling, their football team, and winning and losing. And having three running backs who are all willing to just slam it in there, it's a big deal. And it's, of course, a great advantage, I think, for the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, while we're on it, last thing here before we go is you got any memories of you losing
the
game?
Let me say this. Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead. Go.
One thing, too.
Right.
The 49ers, watching their game last week, which I did Monday, I just was awestruck for real about their defensive front.
Right.
And I just go, oh my God! It's the fastest, most agile defensive front. And I'm not going to say ever, but it's not even that. The linebackers, oh my gosh!
I know
they are so fast. So you know, I can understand why the front plays out of control sometimes because they got, you know, three defensive backs playing linebacker.
Yeah, right. Who could cover those holes and cover up for them.
It was phenomenal. And Nick Bosa, the second pick of the draft?
Yeah, second pick.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, if he hasn't, he's going to be one go down as one of the best second picks of the draft ever if he stays healthy. I mean, he is phenomenal. And what a group up front. And we all knew this. If the Minnesota Vikings fell a little behind, they were done.
Right.
And Kirk Cousins, you look at his numbers – he got them all in the last two drives of the game when the game was over.
Right.
So that's all we'll say about the game.
Do you think Green Bay will protect better this time around, though? You think that is a big advantage for them, at least knowing what they're dealing with and getting that experience the first time around?
Yes, I think they will protect better. As I watched the first game, I'm sure they won't do one of those stupid pass protections where they keep the tight end and block one of the pass rushers.
Yeah.
You know, people love to do that. I saw the Seattle Seahawks do that or try to do that.
And,
it was a sack. Could have cost them the
game.
Shocker,
yes.
Yeah, boy, that worked out well. Our tight end can block an NFL great pass rusher. But, Green Bay's got to make some different moves on pass protection. And if they have to keep people in, it's not going to hurt the coverage because we know they're going to play single high safety a lot, the 49ers are. And that'll be interesting to see the matchups outside, how they work out.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's one thing we both agree on. If you're playing the 49ers, throw the ball outside the numbers. We haven't seen a whole lot of teams do that to them. And, of course, with Rodgers and Davante Adams, they're capable of doing that. And, you know, vice versa, I know we had this conversation before, too. If you're playing the San Francisco 49ers, they don't throw the ball outside the numbers. Crowd the middle of the field. That's the one. I mean, you look at the highlights of Jimmy Garoppolo through the year. Everything is between the numbers, between the hashes, right over the middle. So if I'm Mike Pettine, I'm making sure when I do play zone, I'm dropping a lot of people in the middle and almost daring them to throw it outside.
Well, a lot of people in the middle of that field. We saw that last week. Minnesota had people around the football the whole game. And, you know, by and large, it's an area of the field, you know, excuse me, Bill Belichick was always great at this. He'd ask me every single game as we come out the field, what do you think? Can he make this throw? And I'd go, no, he won't even try. He's a chicken. He'll dump it to the running back. He goes, that's what I thought. And, you know, I know I've told you this before. But overall in the NFL, there's so many teams that don't throw it outside the numbers.
Right.
Because they want to, we want to keep his completion percentage up, and we want to be careful. And you complete your 3 for 3, and you're putting. That's what happens a lot. So I've seen that a couple times here late in the year, where a team completed 3 straight passes and punt it on fourth down. So,
yeah, right. I know. Yes.
Yeah. So that'll be what's that?
Completion percentage was awesome, though.
That's right. He's so accurate with the football. It's just incredible.
And just so you know, Jimmy G, third most yards in football this year with passes over the middle. So.
Oh, really?
Between the
numbers. Well,
you know
what? The chances of me saying that are zero.
Why?
Because I'm not gonna. I don't care. I'm just not a numbers guy.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Well,
I know he throws it over the middle. I don't need it to be backed up by a number.
No, I know you don't. I know.
Yeah,
I know.
You know, it's just one of my things. Well, okay, so I have a lot of hang-ups.
Yeah, well, it's nice when we have those thoughts though, and then the numbers back it up. Like that's all I'm saying.
Well, sometimes those thoughts, which are real, and it is real, the numbers might not back it up because of some dumb thing that goes on, you know, whatever.
Sure.
You know, oh, he threw it outside the numbers on 19 screens. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's very true. You're right.
Yeah. There you go. So,
all right, you're the man.
All right.
Wait,
to ask me something else.
I wanted to ask you, was there ever a game or a playoff matchup game where you lost, like, early in the year, like we were talking about, like the Green Bay Packers, where, you know, you have the fear, oh, my gosh, we got to play them in a rematch. Now, I know you got hurt for the Super Bowl 25, so you didn't get the rematch against the Bills or anything like that, but do you have any moments that pop to your head as far as that fear is concerned that we were talking about, the Packers, where they'll be waking up out of bed going, oh, I hope we don't get blown out? Or maybe you're on the other side of it. Maybe you got one where you were the 49ers and you were very content with the matchup.
Well, okay, let's see. The Rams twice, 84 and 89.
Yeah, right.
We lost to them in the regular season. And I wasn't convinced we were going to beat them in the rematch in 1985.
Right.
Was it 85? Yeah.
It was 84.
No, 84.
It was 84, yep.
Yeah, and until Bill Parcells came in and said, John Robinson's talking about next week's game, who they're going to play. And he was so mad, you know, like, whatever. We beat them, but, you know, we scratched it out. And, of course, we had played the 49ers during the regular season in 84. Got blown out. We kind of hung in there a little bit, but the game was every bit that what it was really for me again. I got killed.
Right.
And my gosh, I actually saw that game or parts of it about 2 or 3 months ago. It was on NFL Network. Oh my gosh. So I think I've told you this. Roughing the passer, they could have called it 15 times on me for me that day. I mean, you're going down the ground, and guys are just taking their forearms and smashing you in the head, and oh, it was hilarious to watch. Thank God I was, you know, still young then.
Well, that was the 1984 divisional playoff game. You guys lost that 21-10, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right. 21 or 24 to 10. But our lone touchdown was a Harry Carson interception.
Right. Yeah. No offense.
We got down there close a few times, but oh my God, they were all over us. Fred Dean, they were, man. They had us down. They knew how to blitz, and they were extremely aggressive blitzing that day, which they kind of got out of during the Bill Walsh run or whatever. The next time we played them in 86, they were not a blitzing team. They were just better physically, so they didn't have to blitz, but whatever. But, yeah, that comes to mind. And my probably the most scared I was a championship game in 86.
Third time
At our place.
Right.
Because it was the third time we were playing the Washington Redskins, and we had beat them the first two.
Right.
And I go, oh, my gosh. Okay, they know everything we do. Can we figure out a way or whatever to get it done? And probably a good thing. That day, the wind was – you were there. The wind was blowing about a good 35 to 40 miles an hour.
Right.
And it I thought it worked out for us because of our punting, field position. And the biggest thing of all, you talk about Bill O'Brien and what he did.
Yeah.
Okay, going forward, forget all that.
Right.
But Bill Parcells took tons of chances in big games, playoff games, big regular season games, and he made the call, we win the toss. He goes, we want to defend this end. He took the wind.
Right.
Because he wanted to get on top and make them play from behind because the wind was truly that big of a factor.
Yeah.
And we got 10 points in that first quarter, and it was over.
Yeah, it was. It was over. You scored one more in the second quarter. It was 17-0 at half, and nobody scored any more points the rest of the game.
That's it. And thank God, because I didn't want to throw any more balls into that wind that day.
Yeah, that was one of the all-time windy days at Giants Stadium.
Listen,
like 40 and 50-mile-per-hour gusts at
times. It was.
Yeah.
When, when I went to the press conference on Friday, they said, Phil, do you have any concerns about that there's going to be 40-mile-an-hour winds on Sunday? I said, what? And I said, you're kidding, right? And he goes, no, there are the expectations anywhere from 30 to 40. And I remember running out the field to warm up and just running out the tunnel. You know, everybody's excited. The crowd's already in their seats, you know, even for warm-ups. And just going, oh, my God, I finally get to the championship game and I got to play in this kind of friggin' weather. I mean, it just, you know, it kind of hurts you emotionally a little.
Right.
But looking back, it was a good thing. So there you go.
You got it done, big guy. You got it done. You made up for it. All right, man.
Are you by yourself all day rest of the day?
No, I got Paul coming in here to help me with doing this X and O package I'm going to do here on the Telestrator here in a little bit.
Okay, well, you know what? Tell Paul, I said, don't F it up.
I will. I'll tell him, don't fuck it up. And good shit,
Dad.
No,
I didn't say that.
Good shit, Dad. Good
all
shit.
All right, see you, buddy.
Good shit. See ya. All right, everybody. That was the big fucker. That's it for Chris Sims Unbuttoned, episode 116. Like I said, this is really audio only. You can look at my pretty face if you want. I'm very handsome. I get that if all you are out there. But the big breakdowns of the championship weekend games, that will come down. That will be on YouTube.com/NBC Sports. Me and Paulie Baymeister are going to get on that here real soon. Hope everybody's good out there. Like I said, check that out. I think you'll learn some things. We're going to break down some interesting things about these part two of both of these matchups on Championship Sunday. All right, everybody, I'm out. Peace.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.